Bible too.
Yeah. Gotta have your sword with you, ain't?
What you said, ain't no doubt about it. No doubt about
it. Assuming all the girls got there down there fine.
They did. They did. They are down there, and I'm just gonna set that name right there.
Do I need to use my preacher voice or
something? Oh man, it's all good. We'll get it'll pick it up. It'll pick it up. Yeah. So what you looking at, brother?
Well, a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I've been, it's been in my craw for a while.
Yeah.
1:5, it says.
1 Timothy.
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy 1:5.
Now, the end of the commandment is charity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that a lot of versions say love as opposed to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And which is okay. I'm not fussing about somebody's version. I'm not trying to do anything there. But it's like James would say, you can have faith, but faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you can have charity and not have God's love in you.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a charitable person. We
True.
Talked about that
yeah. mm-hmm.
Last Wednesday
yeah.
that we were here.
Meaning you could do good
You'd
things,
be a good man,
but not be godly.
But not be godly.
Yeah.
So you can have charity without that. But and then in verse 14, he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love. So, a lot of versions use love up here and love down here.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
to me, it's, this, those are two different words. To me, those are, I can have charity without love, but I can't, if I have love, if I have God's love, then I have charity.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does. It does. Charity is just an old term used for that reflection of this agape love that we're
yes.
talking about.
Right.
We're talking about the same love. Let's see here. Let me see what.
Uh huh.
Hey, sweetheart.
Hey.
You've been in the pool.
No, not yet. Brandon and them are going over there to work and can get that ice. If that's the only reason you're going over there with gas, $12.50 a gallon.
I'm saying,
I thought
yeah.
you might want to save your gas, so I can tell them to get 2 more bags of
that
ice.
That would be perfect.
Okay.
That would be perfect.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
How's the baby?
He's good.
In the pool.
All right.
Watch
them
horse flies.
They're
terrible, ain't they?
Oh, got Carolyn back there, too.
All right. Thank you for getting to have it and pick that up.
I will.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to pull up these words real quick. And remember, these are transliterations.
This is not a... I'm not going to be preaching this. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is just a question that I've had in my head for a while.
Right. This is why we're going to look at it from the root of what we're talking about,
That's
the
right.
idea of the word. Are there two different Greek words?
I don't know.
Okay, that's what we're going to figure out.
All right.
And then what we're going to do is see how in the transliteration of that word, they use the word charity, and sometimes they use the word love. Okay? Now,
okay.
the translation that I'm using right here uses love for both.
Okay.
All right. Now, but we're going to look at...
Is it New King James?
This is the New King James.
Okay.
Let me look at just what he says in the Greek here for the word love. Okay, the word love in verse 14 is the word agape. We're talking about that eternal love.
Yes.
And he's saying that God's grace in Christ this redeeming grace, because that's the grace he's talking about. He's not talking about a common grace that right. is applied to the rain and the sun and all that right. that goes. He's talking about the redeeming grace was super abundant. It was hyper. You ever yeah. been around a hyper kid? You ever yeah. seen somebody who was hyperactive?
Yeah.
It was exceedingly abundant.
Around three of them this week.
Yeah, look, and that's the thing. His grace, what came with that grace was faith and love, and that faith and love is directed into Christ.
Yes.
So when somebody who has been saved by redeeming grace is going to believe and love Jesus.
Yes.
Beyond any question.
Right.
Because grace ensures, grace points out that Jesus is the manifestation of all faith and all love. He everything points toward him, and the love that we need to trust him, the faith we need to trust him and believe, it came with grace.
Yes.
God supplied it.
Yes.
Faith and love comes from God. Yes. Okay. Now let's look. I'm gonna look up verse number 5 here. Let's see. Now the end of the commandment is charity. So let's look up what we're looking at here. Same exact word, agape. So we're talking about, no doubt, love. Now, the idea of why the transliterators in the Old King James use the word charity is because they are trying to express that God's love is always a charitable, active love, yeah. meaning it's going to do something.
Right.
It's never stale. It's never stagnant. So, but I still go back to when I prefer, just tell me, just give me the word love, because I understand God's love is always an active love. God's yes. love always does, like faith is always active.
Yes.
Love is always active. Hope is always active. And these are divine gifts given by God to produce something in a natural man, a supernatural element.
Yeah.
This love, this faith, this hope. And so we have to be cautious of, and I think this is what I think you're telling me, when you see the word charity, we have a tendency to apply it to charities. When people are charitable and do things for others, but they don't do it for the glory of God. And therefore, you can misapply that word from that perspective.
Yeah.
So you're looking at these social justices that have no God in them.
Yeah.
But they are actively supplying needs and meeting needs in people's lives, but then it has no element to do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we when words are used, because we only look at words as we understand words, and as we...
So if I was to read this in church,
mm-hmm.
should I say, instead of charity, love? Or should I say charity that's in maybe love in your Bible?
Yeah, you can do that if you know a word. Like, I don't read every translation every time. I just don't have time to do it. So I know other translations use other words, and they structure sentences different.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to go in and read every time. No. But if I'm aware of a word like that,
yeah.
I can say your translation, because my translation says love, but yours says charity. I would say the Old King James would use the word charity with the emphasis of saying this is the same love that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, the kind of love that suffers long, the kind of love that bears all, the kind of love that endures all, the kind of love that is rooted eternally but's going to be manifested in our everyday life. That means when you express charity, that is saying you're thinking about other people. Yeah. You're thinking about other people, but why are you thinking about other people? Now, the context of the passage is going to give us the solution to the question.
It always does.
That's where he
Bible,
then says...
Bible answers his own question.
Yes, this kind of charity, this kind of love is just not any kind of charity and any kind of love. It's a love or a charity that comes from a pure heart that's been cleansed, it's clean.
Yes.
A good conscience, a cheerful, joyful conscience, and what? He says in here, a sincere faith.
Yes.
You see, my translation says sincere, yours says unfeigned, right?
What's your verse?
This is verse 5, 1-5.
Unfeigned.
Okay, mine says sincere. And that's the idea of unfeigned, meaning that it's authentic. It's genuine. It's a faith that's rooted in something that is reliable.
Right.
A faith that's rooted in less than something that's sincere is not reliable.
Right.
You can't put confidence in it. So we're talking about the end, like the word end, for an example. When you think of the word end in verse 5, you're talking about a goal. The goal or the objective or the purpose. This is the whole purpose. Well, what purpose? Look at the close of verse 4. What's the close of verse 4 say? Godly edification.
Yes.
Okay. Godly edification is rooted in grace and the gifting of the Spirit. Remember, so the Spirit gifts us for edification, to build up the body.
Yes.
Well, anything that is not rooted with this goal of this love that is clean, that is cheerful, and that is reliable is going to produce something outside of godly edification, and it's actually working under the mysteries of lawlessness and not under the mystery of godliness.
Yes.
You only have two elements at work. Either lawlessness is at work or godliness is at work.
Yes.
And what was going on in Ephesus was there was a lot of lawlessness being taught, and Paul charged Timothy to go in there and correct that, to fix that with what? Sound teaching.
Right.
So that godliness would be manifested and not lawlessness. So when he says in verse number 3, I urge you when I went into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus that you may charge some. That is, he had the authority by the apostle to speak truth over these falsehoods.
Yeah.
To alter what they've been teaching. What were they teaching? They were teaching other doctrines.
Yes.
They were teaching fables and janglings and lies and empty things that only tore people down but didn't build people up. So he says, I've given you this mission, this assignment, Timothy, and this is the objective of it, is godly edification, and edification only comes through love, and that love must be pure, that love must be clean, that love must be knowledgeable, that love must be reliable.
Yes.
And that kind of love will build the body up.
Yes.
Anything else than that is lawlessness. So that's that charitable kind of love that lays its life down to bless somebody else, and not where these other teachers were teaching that made it all about them. They looked like the hero in this. It had a false sense of religion, but there was no power in it.
Yes.
And that Paul keeps bringing this up in Timothy, like he said in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4. This is the same group that he's talking about. 4:1. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith.
Yes.
Okay, well, what is he referring to of this faith? Well, that's that mystery of godliness that's mentioned at the close of chapter 3. That he said, without controversy, it is beyond question, this is the common theme of all genuine believers, that God was manifested in the flesh. That he was validated or justified, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. That's our confession.
Amen.
That's Jesus.
Come on.
That's all Jesus. Well, in later days, some are going to, what, step aside from that, and they're not going to stand on that anymore.
Right. Well, see, back up into 15, it tells you to behave yourself in church.
That is how we function as the body.
And it's one of those things we have to be reminded all the time to behave ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily not be a sinner, not be evil.
Mm-mm.
Just behave yourself, because there are people that are listening to us.
They're watching, listening. You keep seeing that throughout Timothy, about the widows, about the mamas, about the daddies. Everybody's watching.
And you take our prayer list, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are new mm-hmm. to the church. There are people that are somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that's been in the church for as old as I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel bad or have a problem, asking for prayer is something that the Bible tells us
to do.
To do.
That's right.
But to say, oh, just don't put me on the prayer list. You're telling the younger ones that it's okay not to be put on the prayer list because you're not behaving yourself by doing so.
It comes across like that it's not as significant.
Yeah.
That's not.
I didn't say it was evil, and I didn't say it was bad. Mm-hmm. What I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you're just not behaving.
Mm-hmm.
And
in a way that would help somebody see that, hey, we could all use somebody praying over us.
And so if you are behaving, then you're doing what is taught here. So it's taught.
And that's the key. Our beliefs affect our behavior.
Right. Yeah.
Our doctrines are going to affect what we see as a delight and a duty in life.
See, I will be sad missing church tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It saddens me to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a sermon from God that's going to be preached Sunday
mm-hmm.
that I'm not going to hear. Understand?
Right. I'm with you. I know it's disappointing when you can't be with.
That was specially designed mm-hmm. for you to preach the glory of God to the people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be there.
Right.
But I know enough to behave myself.
Mm-hmm.
To act godly.
Mm-hmm.
To act kind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to break nobody down to teach them something.
Right.
I need to lift them up to teach them something.
That's where he sent Timothy for that purpose. That was the objective. That was the goal. That was the aim, is this godly edification. Because you got to think about, what does Corinthians teach us about the spiritual gifts? Every gift that's given to the body is for the body.
Well, and that ties into 4:14 there.
Mm-hmm.
Read that for us, brother.
4:14, he says, do not neglect that gift which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate. You know, that is saying, give your thoughts toward them.
Yeah.
Give yourself entirely to this purpose.
Yeah.
That your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the teaching, the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will deliver, the word says save, but the idea is deliver,
I understand,
both yourselves and those who hear you. Because you're talking to a saved man.
Right.
But see this.
But the gift that was given to thee, mm-hmm. now is this, they were praying, and here's how I see this. They were all together praying
mm-hmm.
over Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to somebody saying, this is going to be his gift.
Mm-hmm.
So far?
Right. You got to keep in mind, we're talking about the New Testament had not been compiled at this point.
Yeah.
Like we have 1 Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians explain these gifts.
Right.
Timothy was sent there to be an overseer.
Right.
That's part of the gifting.
But before
all this was clarified, yes, when they laid hands on him and they spoke over him, that he had the authority of that gifting to teach, to preach, to administrate, to this pastoral work that was laid on him, that he had that charge. That charge and that word commandment in chapter 1 when he says the end of the commandment,
yeah,
that is not speaking of the commandments. It's right. Speaking of the orders that you were given to go do this work.
Yes.
It'd be like when the Navy sent me to Meridian, I had orders to leave Norfolk, Virginia, authorized by the Pentagon to leave one vessel to go check into another place and not be counted AWOL at one because I went and did my own thing.
Right.
Now, if I went and showed up down in Pensacola and says, I'm here to work, and they said, well, who authorized you to come? And I wouldn't have any kind of orders. They wouldn't be expecting me to come because Washington didn't say I was supposed to be there.
Right.
And now I'm in a place I ain't supposed to be.
Right.
And now I'm liable. You see, but as long as I'm operating under them orders, so that word commandment that he gave him, he says the purpose of the charge you've been given, the orders and assignment you've been given, is to build up the church, and God gifted you to do that. And that was communicated when they laid hands on Timothy and sent him. Because remember, Paul used Timothy so much.
Right.
Remember in Corinth, he sent him over there and said, yeah, he'll do everything that he sees me do everywhere. Over at Philippi, he said, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and he'll care for you like nobody else will care for you. But now Timothy's put in a role that is different than that. That was earlier in his life.
Now this.
Now he's leaving him to be an overseer.
Of a church.
And then raise up overseers.
Now in 13 it says to read.
Yes, yes.
Is that?
I think that's public reading and private. Well, give attention to the reading.
To the Bible.
To the Word of God,
to
yes.
To the Word of God.
Yes.
At that time maybe they had the Torah and
he had the Older Testament.
Older Testament, maybe Proverbs.
Which
and,
all
and
that
Psalms.
Pointed, you know, about Jesus. So
yeah.
He said, give you attention, and I think it's twofold. Of course, you're not gonna read publicly what you haven't been indulging yourself in privately.
Right.
So when he would gather and teach, what would be the material that he would gather and teach from that would be on the foundation of the Word? So when they would gather, they would read a psalm, read Proverbs, read one of these passages out of the...
Jesus went back and used Isaiah all the time.
Yes, yes. So the point is, that's he was reading of the Word.
So he probably had Isaiah.
No doubt about it, yes. Give your attention to the reading, to exhortation, and the doctrine.
Yeah.
So that is, read the Word, teach the Word, and continue to build on that doctrine by reinforcing it with the reading and the teaching of the truth. That's how you build up the body.
And as we study, I know that sometimes when you read a verse or book, that it means one thing to you, and
mm-hmm.
maybe when you're younger. And then as you have children, it means something different, and so on.
Well, the application... it always means the same, but how you apply it in them circumstances may be applied different, but the root of it is the same.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible can't mean what it never meant.
Right. Oh, no.
But how I then use it will be applied in different circumstances at different times.
But then sometimes a word, God will open our eyes and show us a word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, Christopher and I studied three words on this trip.
Right. He was telling us.
We studied gate.
Mm-hmm.
We studied path.
Mm-hmm.
And we studied way.
Yeah.
The short story is, these are all Jesus' examples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus came into the east gate on Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And came out carrying a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Our example there is to follow Jesus, to get saved, to go in, learn, and then come out carrying our own cross.
Constantly. As a way of life.
On the right path, though.
Yeah, right.
Now,
that goes back to that charge.
Yes.
If Timothy had went to Philippi when he was supposed to be at Ephesus, he would have left his charge.
He would have been on the wrong path.
That's right.
And but also the path, the way is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just be on the path and sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be about the way, about going, about doing.
Yes, you have a journey and a destination.
And it doesn't end.
Mm.
We have, as long as we have life and breath in us, our journey is to reach that next person
mm-hmm.
out there.
Yeah. Reaching and teaching.
To at least put a seed in them.
Mm-hmm. You're always conscious of that. Remember what we talked about, them kingdom thinkers?
Yeah.
A kingdom thinker always has fruit on his mind. Yeah. So he's always planting seed.
Planting seed. There'll be somebody that I won't be able to reach.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a time when I pass that I had maybe wanted to go see somebody,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't get there.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that God's not going to send somebody to that person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're reading the book of Acts. Look at the squirrel.
Was that a baby?
I think it just come out your car.
Hey, what is it? It's behind it, though. It's a baby, isn't it? Is that a squirrel? It's a squirrel. I don't think it came out of my car. But it might be. Anyway, that was where I was.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. It's an ongoing lifestyle. And your Proverbs 21:16 says, "He who forsakes the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead."
Yeah.
You forsake the way of understanding, you will get comfortable with those who are the walking dead in this world.
Yeah.
Because you got off the way.
Whatever it is, we'll leave it here.
Come on. It was a squirrel.
That was...
Mm-hmm. It's always something, ain't it?
Always something.
Something sit around a little bit, something's going to do something to
it, huh?
That's
true.
It's like a car.
Yeah.
A car just sits still, it's going to get dirty, right?
That's right.
And not run after a while.
Huh. That's
good. As long as you got nothing that's going to get to you. Man, I can get a. I got a broom.
I can squirt it out when I get home.
I can go get that hose
and
pull it around.
We're gonna go on home and squirt it out.
I wonder how many little ones got out on the ride over here.
Yeah. Well, that could have been the mama, I guess. And then, yeah.
You're probably right.
Well, brother, it's always something.
Now, look at here.
Look at here.
This is true. All right. See, the dog kept it out.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
And snakes go after snakes.
All the time, yeah.
Certain parts.
Yeah.
He has a snake.
We'll see you later, brother.
I love y'all.
Love you too.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for
hey,
the word.
Y'all, look, we're going to do our best to go live on Facebook in the morning. So you could look up my thing and, yeah, and you ought to be able to possibly watch it.
All righty.
All righty.